So this is the introduction for the second seminar theme on the course Advanced Topics on Systems Development. My name is Ville Seppänen and the theme today is Agile. I will first go through the turns that have led to the birth of Agile methods, their general objectives, and then we will look at where they have brought us now. Then at the end of this slide deck, we will go through the topics for the essays and the presentations. In the 1950s, Toyota Motor Corporation was struggling with several issues in their car manufacturing and production. Those problems include, for example, quite long development cycle times. They required numerous redevelopment cycles. The development costs were too high. The production of automobiles took quite a long time, so the production cycles were overly long. The production, actual production costs were too high, and the overall the company seemed to lack innovation in the production. So they came up with this system known as Toyota Production System. It was introduced in the 50s. It was practically a precursor of lean manufacturing, and Toyota Production System nowadays is known or referred to as lean manufacturing. The main objectives of the TPS was to eliminate the unnecessary waste of the production. This means that they try to produce waste as little as possible by doing nothing that is not really important in the production and does not really produce value for the customer and the company as well. Also, the idea of just-in-time production was built into the Toyota Production System method. Both lean manufacturing and just-in-time production are both currently somewhat standards in production industries. In the 1960s, it wasn't too common that software developers would have used any systematic methodologies in their software development work. And those who used some kind of methodologies have noticed that the methods they were using were not able to cope the increasing size of software and increasing complexity of the products. In 1968, the participants of the NATO Software Engineering Conference concluded that their industry they were working in was struggling with several fatal issues, such as the projects were systematically running over the budget, running over the time, they were too late, the products, the software products were unmanageable, and the produced software code was quite difficult to maintain. The software was inefficient. The software was usually of low quality. Software didn't meet the customer requirements, and quite often software products were not delivered at all at the end of the development projects. As a consequence, the entire industry was declared to be in a crisis, and the well-known term of software crisis was coined in the same NATO conference. However, it seemed that the software industry was not ready to jump in the, for example, Toyota-style lean manufacturing, but instead the concept and idea of software development lifecycle was introduced. One of the early software lifecycle models was so-called waterfall model, which was introduced quite early on in the industry and has gained since then a loyal following and quite a large user base. The waterfall model added a clear structure, phases, stages to the software development and the software development lifecycle. And by this structure, it also increased the rigor and plan-drivenness to the development approaches. So this was back then a huge step forward, and waterfall models nowadays are still quite widely used among the industry members. Of course, it was noticed that the waterfall model is not perfect by any means. In software production, customer requirements usually tend to change quite often. New requirements may appear late on in the development cycle. Another key problem with plan-driven waterfall-like models is that customers are able to see the actual product, actual software code only very late in the development process. And further on, it's extremely expensive and difficult to correct the mistakes that were made early on in the process during the planning or design stages. And if those mistakes go into production code, they are extremely difficult and expensive to correctify. Read, for example, Bohm's 81 article, Software Engineering Economics, on that matter for further information. Quite soon the process was added with the iterative structure, allowing that you can repeat the key stages of the project, go back, redo things. Things could be thought differently if the requirements change and things like that, which was of course good and still is good. But it also led to that the development time grew even longer, and as a consequence the development became even more expensive. Next, to be able to cope with ever-increasing complexity of the software, the idea of incremental development was introduced in the plan-driven models. So the development process could be implemented in several increments that all more or less followed the structure of the original waterfall model. And this both iterative and incremental structure of the development process actually captures quite a lot of features of the current development methods, but not all. So during this method development, the software development methods became quite heavy, rigid, and even burdensome to use. For example, rational unified process, which by itself is very well thought out and will undeniably produce good results if developers are just able to implement the process correctly and pull it through in all its details. It has tens and tens of different roles that must be involved in the development, and it has a huge number of different principles, different activities that those roles must implement, a number of different best practices and responsibilities. So well thought out process undeniably becomes very heavy, very difficult to follow and implement. On one hand, of course, one could argue that as the software is complex, the development methods must adapt to that complexity. so it can be seen as something that is undeniable. Or on the other hand, one could think that we have been doing something wrong, that the software development methods don't have to be that heavyweight and even bureaucratic. In 2000, there were about 10 lightweight development methods around. By that time, probably the most well-known and most widely used was the extreme programming by Kent Beck. And extreme programming is still nowadays doing strong and is quite widely used. In 2001, a group of method engineers, developers and consultants, including Kent Beck, came together at the skiing lodge to discuss how to solve this problem of software development and still ongoing software crisis. All the participants of that meeting were more or less fed up with heavy plan-driven development methods such as CMMI and other derivatives of the original waterfall model. And at the end of that meeting, they came up with the idea of Agile Manifesto. The simple key values of Agile Manifesto are to value individuals and interactions over processes and tool, value working software over comprehensive documentation, value customer collaboration over negotiated contracts, and to try to respond to change instead of strictly following the original plan. The Agile Manifesto is also accompanied with some guiding principles, of which I have highlighted here a few. First of all, one of the key goals is to provide the customer some value with early and continuous delivery of the software. Software must be delivered frequently, from a couple of weeks to a couple of months, and with a preference to the shorter delivery times. The development team must welcome change in requirements, even late in the development life cycle. Second, Agile Manifesto values self-organizing developer teams. So instead of setting strict requirements and processes and responsibilities for the different team members, the teams are able to organize their working as they see best fit. The great trust is given to the team. They are trusted to get the job done, and the method is there just to create the possibilities and set up the environment for the team to work. Second, business people or customer and developers must work together daily, meet each other commonly, discuss the requirements and problems during the development work actively. And this helps the team to embrace and understand the changing requirements. And finally, the best way to convey information within the team and to the team is the use of face-to-face conversation. To summarize, here's a little opinionated comparison of traditional plan-driven methods and agile methods. So plan-driven methods tend to resist and control changes towards the product that is being developed, whereas agile methods welcome changes and change in requirements. Using plan-driven methods, the contracts seem to be binding, whereas in agile development, the contracts are flexible. In plan-driven methods, the customer interaction takes place only during the selected milestones, whereas in agile, the customer interaction must be continuous. Software delivery happens in plan-driven methods usually one time, once the product is finished, whereas using agile methods, the delivery happens iteratively and incrementally. Working versions of the software, even though not finished yet, are delivered continuously. Plan-driven methods are oriented on the preset development processes, whereas agile methods emphasize the role and possibilities of people and individuals. Requirements, architecture, and design, while using plan-driven methods, are defined upfront, whereas in case of agile methods, they are allowed to evolve during the software development lifecycle. There are quite a lot of roles in plan-driven methods, whereas less roles and more wider roles, more responsibilities for each role in agile methods. Finally, the success of the project is evaluated when using plan-driven methods as conformance to the preset requirements, whereas in agile methods, it's the actual business value that is delivered to the customer. So as an example, the Scrum process, which is built on top of those agile principles. We have the product backlog, which practically is the functional and non-functional requirements of the software. It is owned by the product owner, discussed with the customer. The development work is prioritized by the product owner as well. It's the requirements are implemented as sprints. At the start of each sprint, the actual developer team, Scrum team of around 7 person discusses with the product owner which features or which requirements are implemented during the next sprint. Sprints last typically from 1 to 4 weeks, and at the end of each sprint, a shippable product or product increment is delivered to the customer. Every day, the Scrum team has a meeting, discusses what they are doing, what they will be doing, if there are any problems, and so on. The customer may take part in the Scrum meetings, so the continuous conversation with the customer is took care that way. The role of Scrum Master is mostly to enable the team to work as they see best fit. So by this mean, the self-organization and trust is given to the team. At the end of each sprint, the team and the product owner will have a sprint review meeting where they discuss how the things went, what can be improved, what lessons have been learned. And in addition to that, the Scrum team by itself has a sprint retrospective meeting where they discuss the similar issues. And the customer is continuously involved in the development process. Customer is able to have their say on the requirements or the feature backlog. At the end of each sprint, shippable product is given to the customer. Customer try it out, can give preferences what should be done next, how the product looks at its current state, should there be some alterations and things like that. So in principle, Scrum implements the agile principles quite well. It is able to welcome the change in requirements, even in the late of development, because the customer is involved in the process all the time. The backlog can be updated to adhere those change requirements. Customer may participate the development work even as often as by participating the daily Scrum meetings. Frequent meetings enable the use of face-to-face conversation. The sprints are usually short, therefore there's a clear preference to the shorter timescale in release cycle. Early and continuous delivery is made possible by delivering working software at the end of each sprint. And finally, the sole role of Scrum Master is to give the developer team support and to establish the environment that serves the best the needs of the developer team. Here's a quick overview of the software development methods from the 2010. Almost 1,300 IT professionals were asked what methodology or method most closely reflects the development process they are currently using. 35% of the respondents were using some variation of agile methods. Scrum, with 10.9%, the most commonly used. 16.3% of the respondents were using iterative methods. 13% were using some variation of waterfall methods, and somewhat strangely, 30.6% of the respondents did not use any formal process methodology at all. But still, 2010, the agile methods, some form of agile methods, were the most commonly used software development methodologies. So where are we today? According to a Finnish study conducted in 2013, still half of the information system projects fail in one way or another. Some of the most common failures of IS projects identified by both the developers and the customers include that the projects are running over budget, running over time, delivered software is inefficient or of low quality in other means, and also one of the key problems is the lack of communication between the developer and the customer. So the key indicators of the original software crisis still seem to remain pretty much the same, and lack of communication has appeared as a new problem area. This is somewhat strange because the agile methods try to involve customer into development work more intimately and increase the communication between developers and the customers. Boehm and Turner argued already in 2004 that the original plan-driven methods are probably more best fit to the software projects that are of high criticality, involve junior developers who might need a bit more control and guidance compared to seniors. For the projects where requirements do not change often, there are a large number of developers involved in the development work, and project take place in the environments where the for example, organizational culture demands order, whereas agile methods are more suited for developing software that is of low criticality. There are senior developers, seasoned developers who know what they are doing, involved in development, requirements to us, the software changes often. The developer teams are small, and culture surrounding the project must respond to change. And now to the essay and presentation topics. First, two somewhat general topics. First is the review of how agile approach in general has developed over the time. So you can examine, for example, the background philosophy of agile approaches to software development, common characteristics, principles, objectives of agile methods, what kind of goals and objectives they are aimed towards, what kind of guidelines there are and there have been, how the guidelines have developed over the time. So conduct a review on the agile approach in general, how it has evolved. Second goes to the actual agile methods. So I want you to conduct a systematic comparison of a number of different agile methods. If you work as a group of three, compare two methods. Work as a group of four, compare three. And for the groups of five, compare four methods. Try to create some kind of framework for your comparison that you somewhat systematically use to compare those chosen methods. You can, for example, discuss what characterizes the methods you are comparing, how disciplined they are in their approaches, what do they have in common, what are the differences between different methods, and so on. The second set of topics is related to scaling agile methods. As we know, and as we can find out from the comparison of Palmer and Turner, Scrum and other agile methods have originally been developed for the use of small teams. But nowadays, also large organizations quite often deploy agile approaches in their development work. Here's one traditional way to scale agile methods for larger software projects, in which case the software that is being developed is usually arranged into subsystems. There are subsystem departments who own the subsystems. Then the subsystem departments are organized into component teams who implement individual components for the software. Component teams typically, for example, can work using the Scrum process. However, there are quite a lot of difficulties in this way of scaling agile methods, because the teams must interface continuously with the entire organization, and teams must somehow be able to synchronize their working and synchronize their deliverable components with the other teams. There are also some entire methodologies developed for usage of agile or lean approaches in larger projects. Probably the most well-known is SAFe framework, Scaled Agile Framework, and another quite well-known and widely used is the LESS framework. The actual topics related to this theme are, first, experiences, challenges, and suggested solutions for using agile methods on large software projects. In this case, the large refers to that of large team or multi-team, and the project lengths of multiple years. The second one is similarly experiences, challenges, and suggested solutions for using agile methods on geographically dispersed and or multicultural software projects. In Tony's introductory lecture, there were good slides regarding the Global Information Systems Development. So if you pick this topic, you might want to refer to those slides as well. Third one is experiences on developing large enterprise level software, such as enterprise resource planning software using agile methods. On this exercise, you should focus on case studies. What kind of case studies you can find in the literature that report and discuss the use of agile methods in enterprise level information systems development. And finally, the other way around, scaling methods and agile methods down. So what kind of successions and solutions method-wise you can find for the very small developer teams, typically single developers or so-called cowboy programmers. Is there any method support available for single developers? Then the so-called integration issues. These two topics, in my opinion, might be quite difficult. So if you pick one of these and can come up with a good essay, you know that you've done well. So first is reconciling agile methods with traditional plan-oriented and methods and projects practices. For example, how to integrate Scrum with plan-driven waterfall-oriented approaches. In practice, many companies use both plan-driven and agile methods for different projects and in some cases within the same projects. Quite often these projects interface with each other or the teams developing components, for example, within the same projects using completely different approaches must be able to cooperate. So how can you cope with the situation that the software is being developed using both plan-driven and agile methods? How those different approaches can work together and cooperate? Next is using agile methods on so-called non-greenfield projects, which means that the project and the developer team must comply with some standards, for example, standard frameworks and pre-existing software components, or they must integrate their software with, for example, legacy software. So the developer team cannot start from the scratch. On the other hand, such requirements may be seen to violate some of the key principles of agile methods, for example, collective ownership and some others as well. So how to cope while using agile methods with such situations? The 10th topic is the use of documentation in agile software engineering. As we know, Agile Manifesto, for example, values working software over comprehensive documentation. However, practical experiences have shown that in agile development, the documentation is too often neglected, even though we know that lack of documentation can cause some serious and various problems during the software lifecycle. So in this topic, find out what kind of instructions and practices there are for documentation while using agile methods. You may include in this topic also the documentation that is produced usually during the design and planning stages of the software development. And finally, you can let yourself loose and argument against the use of agile methods. When and why it would be better to stick with plan-driven approaches. When it is not wise to use agile approaches, if you can find any. So build up a cohesive and hopefully comprehensive argumentation against the use of agile methods. And in this topic, you may be a little bit provoking and even exaggerate your arguments. And this is it. I hope you find some interesting topic you start to working on. Thank you.